Hello, folks, and welcome to VG Club. My name is Paul slash Viv, aka Dexter 23 Jack, and today I am joined by Marcus, aka Cool Luck,
Hello.
Chris, aka Korea 9,
Hey all.
Grace,
Hello.
and our guest starring Ben, aka BJK394.
Hey.
And then we've also got Javi joining us, but he is eating a burrito right now, so we'll leave him
It's
be.
true.
Classic hobby.
All right. So yeah, for this month we played Dishonored. So I'm curious, have you guys played this game before?
I
I
tried to
did.
start it.
Ahead, Grace.
I've tried to start it twice, and I've got past like the first like real mission. That's as far as I ever got before I played it this time.
Man, I beat it on when it came out on 360. What was that? 2012
12. Yep.
Years ago, you old man.
Yep.
I also beat it then. I just played the base game at the time in 2012. This time around, I did go ahead and, since it was the definitive edition, tried out the DLCs.
Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was my first time playing the DLCs as well. Sorry, I cut you off, Ben. What were you gonna say?
I played it before. I don't know if I finished it when I played it back in the day, but yeah, I definitely played it for sure.
My story is the exact same as Grace. I've started this game multiple times, fell right off, like bounced right off after the first like opening. I don't know, it just never clicked with me.
Okay, good to know where everybody's coming from. So yeah, Dishonored kind of tells the story of Corvo, which on that is such a such a cool name for a main character. But yeah, it tells the story of Corvo. He's the bodyguard for the queen, and he's been kind of acting as a diplomat and kind of asking other kingdoms for help with this rat plague. Gets back his baby mama slash the queen gets murdered. He gets blamed for it. He gets locked up, and then he breaks out with the help of this resistance group, and then goes on to take out key figures in the regime and rescue Emily, the princess empress. And yeah, everything kind of spins away from there. Am I missing anything?
I'm sure
No, I
you
think
missed
that.
like a ton because
Is
this
he
world is
actually the
so
father?
fleshed out. Yeah,
Is that
he
a thing?
is.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
I mean, yeah, I forgot all of the like superpowers. You've got this
Oh,
being
yeah.
called the outsider. You've got this, classist struggle with, the rat plague being introduced to wipe out the lower income classes. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, like, there's a lot of plot points in there, but.
Yeah, and they really like just fleshed out this world a ton. And unfortunately, some of it's covered in books that are tough to sort of like read the excerpts that you pick up throughout the levels. But there's
Yeah.
also letters and just various other forms of like lore deliverance that the conversations between various guards and high profile figures that you can sort of listen in on. But I was wondering, is this like based on anything, or did they just make this all up?
As far as I know, it's original original oh God Arcane Studio production.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. I don't
I
see
mean,
anything. I don't see anything that's like pointing to it being anything else in the stuff online. So.
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, what else they've done, but I mean, like immersive Sims, which, it's a really weird descriptor for the genre, because I feel like simulation games, like you associate those with, like racing games or flying games, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's their bread and butter. So, just like fleshing out a world. They've done the same with Prey, and from what I heard, they while it wasn't as deep, they pretty much did the same with oh God, Deathloop.
I've not played Deathloop yet, but yeah, like they create like very detailed worlds as part of their game.
Yeah. No, for sure. Did you guys? I've only heard about it. I didn't catch the details in either of my playthroughs of it, of what the deal with the whale oil is. Besides, they're actually extracting it from these whales in a really gruesome way, as we see in the DLC.
Just like their main source of energy, like they use it to power their electricity, and I don't know if they go into it much more than kind of like it's a primary resource that they have.
I thought it was
Yeah,
something
there's
like it was contributing to the plague or something that's been going on.
like
So I think what is it? Like if you around Pedro's workshop, if you're reading some of his like documents, there's something in there being like they don't exactly know how it works. But basically they use it to like Chris said, it's a resource. They use it to power pretty much everything. I think the whales also have this like connection to the void, so some of the power kind of comes from like the outsider himself. And I think just honestly, I think there might just be an element of like, hey, a karma just being like, oh yeah, you're killing these creatures that just like sing this be a beautiful song to kind of create this like steampunk world, and because of that, it just feels like things like snowball. So something that was, it might have contributed to the plague in the sense that, I don't know, it might have just been like a luck or a karma thing, but I don't know if there was anything about like, oh, the pollution helped the plague spread or anything.
Well, like you mentioned there, if it's connected to the void, maybe that is the link. Because the void, every time you go into the void, like in the game, it's always like this very dark world, dimly lit, like these just sort of floating pieces of land that are sort of kind of connected and just sort of really shrouded in like almost a slime.
Yeah, it's not quite like Silent Hill, but there is like this mist surrounding everything.
Yeah, they used to. There's like this a thing about like the old religion used to worship like the whales and the outsider and all that stuff, and the like new society like outlawed all that stuff. So there might be like a thing with that too.
Yeah, but anyway, sorry. I just wanted to really to talk about some of that stuff because a lot of the games that we've been playing, there's really not too much to dive into as far as the world itself. Either it's in an established sort of canon like we see with The Force Unleashed, or it's real like paper thin. Like a lot of Castlevania felt like that. Like I'm sure there's a little bit more underneath, but it wasn't particularly engaging the same way this was. It felt like this feels like its own mythos, not something just cribbing off of pre-existing stuff.
Yeah, there's honestly, there's a lot to delve into. And I mean, like, you can see how, or why rather, Arkane wanted to do like a second game, and then on top of that, do this like a 2.5 game with Death of the Outsider to kind of cap off the entire series. I think they wanted to do this send off to this world they created, and they didn't want to leave everybody hanging.
Gotcha. So I guess a question I have for everyone here, how did you play the game? Is there a certain methodology you used or like just what was your experience, moment to moment?
Death to everyone.
Pretty much.
I tried like the low chaos run because that's usually what I do, but I always end up messing up and then I'm just like, okay, time to murder everybody.
Yeah, I tried sneaking. I really did, but most of the time it didn't work out, and I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna start killing everybody.
I feel like this game, if it really, like, if they could have made it more user friendly to try to do a stealth only run, and I know Paul, you did do a stealth only run, so you probably know better than I do, but like that old school kind of save scumming where you could like be like, okay, before I enter this room and try my plan, I'm gonna put a save here so I can easily retry. That may or may not be available here. I didn't really try it, but I think that that would be really helpful.
I think you can save pretty much anywhere.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I pretty much saved scum to oblivion with this sort of game. And I mean, usually I don't mind the loading I mean, I was playing on PS4, so the loading times were, you know, pretty decent, especially compared to like when I played it back on PS3 back in 2012. But it probably would have been a lot more like lightning fast on like PC. So, I mean, honestly, if you probably want to go for a stealth run, PC is probably the platform you want to play on because of that. But
Series X is good for that too.
Yeah. Also, and then I think the one thing is like they could have done just in terms of user interface is, you know, they've already established like in canon the Outsider has, you know, the powers to let you kind of bend time and pause time. I think it wouldn't have been like giving you a power to kind of be like, oh, I'm going to go back 30 seconds before I made this mistake or something, yeah. Something like that.
A sense of time type mechanic where you can rewind.
That would be really nice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they kind of mess with time in this second game as well. But for the most part, yeah, it's like it's the same as like most immersive sims, kind of like Deus Ex kind of did this thing too. So, you know, it's like at any given time I had like 10, 12 like saves like rotating in the background, and I would just go in between them because I guess I was also going for a non-lethal run and a ghost run. So basically I was trying not to be spotted at all, and then I was trying to make sure I didn't kill anybody, which can actually be hard in a game like this because even the most random thing, it's just like, oh yeah, you used a sleeping dart against this one enemy that counts as a kill, and it's just like, what?
Yeah, go ahead. I might have caught that too. What enemy was that? Because I remember at the end of one mission, it's like, you killed someone. I was like, no, I sure as hell didn't. What are you talking about?
It was in the sewers mission, and I guess I decided to save Slackjaw. So I went after Granny. So basically with her, you have to choke her out in order to complete that level without killing anybody.
And Marcus, if you choke somebody out and anything incidentally happens to them while you're doing anything else and they die, it counts against you for some reason.
Oh, maybe a rat found them or something.
Yeah,
no, that's why, you know, it's like I'll carefully place like the bodies like you know, on top of like rooftops, being like, okay, you'll be safe up here.
His ghost is also, the bodies can't be found, right?
No, that's thankfully not. Sometimes like the body would be found, and then they'll just be on more high alert, but it you can still achieve the mission without being seen. But yeah, I think like what was it, a couple of years ago, Arcane like released a list of everything that can happen. Like, you want to make sure they don't fall into any bodies of water. You want to make sure they don't they're not near any rats. Or, you know, it's like in the DLC, I had to do a mission where I had to carry over 20 bodies to the entrance because the game has this thing where only 4 bodies at a time can be present, elsewise they start disappearing. But, you know, like the explosion I was about to trigger to destroy the factory in the DLC, it would have killed the bodies that disappeared. So I had to put everybody in this one small room in order to get do the non-lethal route in the DLC.
Really? So I think I remember that mission. Well, I think one of the options was like it gassed everyone or something like that. And I was worried that like, oh shoot, I'm gonna get like 40 kills here because of that. But when I used that like gas recipe at the end in my clear screen, it still said I didn't kill anybody on that one. Is there something else that indicates oh yeah, you killed them?
This was the kind of like banker type who was basically using the plague to kind of seize assets.
Sorry, that's not ringing any bells. Which is weird, because I like just played it in the past couple of days.
You played the DLC beginning to end, right?
Yeah, yeah. The two.
It was this older guy who worked for the Lord Regent, and it was in like the legal district. And basically you needed to grab his will for his niece and either take him out or get him thrown and get him thrown in prison with a fake document.
Yeah, I did the fake document one.
Okay, yeah, basically one of the ways to do it like non-lethally is you have to use like an item that he got from Granny that doesn't cause the plague, but it basically causes this like odor to smell throughout the entire like estate. And then basically they say it smells like a Reaper's den. So like the game's kind of makeshift zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I thought you were referring to when you said gas.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I thought that's definitely the one, or at least one of the ones I was thinking of that I thought I cleared just fine. I didn't, for me anyways, and I was doing the same thing, just like knocking out fools, and I would mostly just leave them where they were. But I don't think the game punished me for that, which is the weird bit. But to be fair, to your point, I wasn't going for the ghost run. It'd be like someone find me, then it's like, all right, I'll just teleport away and try it again later. So maybe there's some difference there.
Fair enough. I mean, it's like when I was trying to choose a game like this, I was trying to make sure like stealth wasn't the only option. And I was actually kind of curious, like for the people who just were like tried it and then they went the high chaos route, like just the, you know, fuck it mentality. I kind of wanted to see how the game played out for them, because that was Grace and Chris. That's mainly what you guys did, correct?
Yeah, I killed everybody. Everybody's dead.
Yeah, I went to. So anyway, I started blasting route. Yeah, the high chaos does affect the ending. I know that, but like I couldn't tell how much it was affecting like the interactions with the NPCs, like the loyalists and stuff. Sometimes it felt like it did, and other times like it was just really inconsistent.
With the there were a couple times where like, I guess like towards the end of I think it's what Samuel, right? Like the boatman.
And Samuel.
Is that's his name, right? Like he comes and he rescues me from somewhere like right at the end, and then takes me off to where Emily's being on the final level, basically, where you're going up the giant tower. And at the end, he like just like, yeah, I would stick around, but like you're pretty much an asshole, so don't ever contact me again. Leaves.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Corvo, you're like worse than any of these guys. I'm like, why did you even save Corvo? You hate him so much. Why did you not just like leave Corvo in the loyalist place and just go?
Yeah, I killed him when he told me that. So when I did the campaign, I did the high chaos for that because I'd already played it before. So I was just killing everyone. And when he judged me, I'm like, sir, I've been helping your people out left and right. So yeah, I fucking killed his ass and threw him in the lake.
I killed him after he shot off his flare or whatever, so it was a little late, but you know, just divine retribution, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was also a thing, like in the DLC, it assumes that Corvo is going around being just this, like, murderous, like, vigilante, so it doesn't really take into account if you did a non-lethal run. They're just like, oh yeah, there's this mass freak who's going around killing everybody.
Well, in the ones the Definitive Edition, when I started the DLC, it said, hey, we see you got a save file, you want to import that? And so it imported those choices, and yeah, for me it was, he sure killed a bunch of people, but at the end when he makes the choice with Dowd, from Dowd's perspective, he just leaves him and goes away, because that's what I did in my playthrough. So I think as long as you were playing it a certain version, it at least kept track of that stuff. That is strange, though, that if they didn't, they just assumed. That's a little immersion breaking. I think that's definitely one of those things where it's like, oh, but you guys kept track of everything else. Why not this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there wasn't an option to import the save. So basically, I was just, you know, like as Dodd, the main character in the DLCs, I was just hearing about like Corvo's exploits, and I was just like, okay, I didn't do any of this.
I know what Mark's talking about. I think it was at least for the second DLC, like it imports your save from the first one, I didn't realize it and it imported my save from the actual game. And like, I didn't, he's actually the one guy I didn't kill. Like personally, like I was like, oh, I've killed everybody else. Like you have nobody left. I'm fine. Like you want to leave, get out. Like you're a sad person. So I like let him live in the main game. And then in the DLC, like Corvo kills me. So
really,
I thought it was related to the level of chaos I caused as Dowd, which was a lot.
Maybe then. Yeah, I guess maybe that's the case. Because, well, yeah, when I did the DLC, I did low chaos and he let him survive. But I was the exact same as you. I killed literally everybody else in the main game except him. Because he's the only one who asked, like, hey, maybe spare me. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Sure.
That's you asked.
Yeah.
Look, you're nice. Killed his ass.
Yeah, it's just kind of like one of those things, like from, what is it, you know, when I was playing Mass Effect 2, God, what's the gecko lizard alien? Thanos? Or Thane, there we go.
Yeah, it's Thanos.
Yeah, you know, like, he would always say, like, oh yeah, no, I'm not the killer, I'm just the weapon, somebody else pulls the trigger, sort of thing, and I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty much how I associate Dodd.
To an extent, I in playing his DLC, it really felt like, you know, he came up from being super poor, and so he was just saying, all right, you know, I'm going to take what I want, sort of thing. And to do that was in service of other people's assassination contracts. But he had no qualms personally about killing, and he makes a point of specifically referencing, it's like, whoa, but when I killed this Empress, oof, that was not so great. Like, the Corvo and the daughter, they hated it so much. Apparently killing's bad. And so that's part of why I played the DLC. Is like, okay, I guess I won't kill a bunch of people, because he suddenly decided killing is not a good thing.
Yeah, I think it was kind of more just the ramifications of killing the Empress, and I think it didn't sit with him well that, like, Corvo got blamed for everything, but yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, but so question for Grace and Javi, since y'all bounced off of this before, what did you think this time around?
I'll let Grace go first.
I'm glad I got it off my backlog. I'm not glad I played it. By the time I was done with it, I didn't even play the DLC. By the time I was done with the main game, I was done. Like, one of my biggest complaints, and we kind of touched on it a little bit already, is like, for the fact that this game kind of shoves nonviolence down your throat, it doesn't offer enough options for either like stealth, traversal, or non-lethal combat. Like, you can choke guys out, shoot them with a sleep dart, you can teleport. I mean, yeah, you can stop time. I didn't actually unlock that power, but like, I didn't feel like it offered enough options for the fact that it really, 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 really wants you to not kill anybody. Like, I would have been okay if the chaos was more like it only mattered for the main targets. Has actually like unlocked like the non-lethal options for most of them without even really trying, because I was just like doing the side stuff. But when it's just like every single guard, every single place, I'm just like, I don't have time to like sit here and map out their patrols in my head and say, okay, here's how I'm going to do this. Like, and like, I don't have time for saves coming either. I mean, I guess I could have, but I didn't want to. So yeah, I just feel like it doesn't offer enough or what it really wants you to do.
Did you possess any rats? Because that's another non-lethal route to get you around the maps.
No, I didn't unlock that either. Like, that, both of those probably would have been really good, but I didn't try them.
That's it. From there, I don't necessarily disagree with Grace, although I did like the game. The unlock system, I think, is kind of not great. For how you have to, like, you have to, it's the runes, right, that you have to get to unlock your skills, and you find them throughout the world. Like, it's not by you gaining experience, it's by you finding this shit that's a collectible.
Yeah.
So if you're not going out of your way, you're not really improving your skills.
Right, and to even get to most of them, you have to be able to sneak and do everything, like, or kill everybody in the way. So.
Well, and it's kind of like you find them by pulling out this big glowing heart thing that kind of just tells you it's right there. So you just go to, I don't know.
I'm surprised more people don't react to you like holding that. Like, what the hell do you have in your hand? Like
beating heart. Heart?
Yeah. I, similar to Grace, this third time was not the charm. And it sucks because on paper, I should love this game. You know, it shares a lot of, you know, DNA with like Hitman or Metal Gear or, you know, just kind of games that I adore. And I don't mind, like, I spent the other night just playing Splinter Cell Blacklist, and I was just doing these little side missions where, like, if you get seen, it just auto-fails you. And I would just throw myself at it again and again and again until I can, like, clear out the whole level because I mastered it. And I love doing that. But Dishonored just does not click with me. I don't know if it's just the graphics, the setting, the UI, the abilities you have, like, just nothing is compelling. Like, I don't really like it.
You think it might be the first person perspective, Javi? Like, because those other games, and I kind of like, that's why I cannot play Dishonored stealthily. Like, I'm just shitty at it. Like, with you know, trying to not kill anybody, I just don't have the range of a vision that I would in a third person game. Like, for me,
you
can't
see yourself in the environment. It's hard to get a real sense of who can see you, right?
Exactly.
So, just out of curiosity, Javi, Deus Ex, like, what's your history with that series?
I only played the first modern ones, the Human Revolution, I think. And actually, my experience is really similar to Dishonored. I started the game, I got through the first mission or two, and I dropped it like it's hot. Yeah, maybe it is that. Maybe it's first-person stealth I don't jive with. I don't know.
It might just, like I mentioned earlier, like this genre, like they refer to it as like immersive sims. It might just be right. Like, you don't like immersive sims, but you like stealth games, which is why, you know, you like Hitman, what was the other title you mentioned? Hitman and Metal Gear Solid.
Splinter Cell. Yeah. No, that's actually, yeah, maybe I finally learned something about myself on this podcast. Immersive. So Prey, it's the same story for Deus Ex and Dishonored and Prey. The story is like, okay, on paper, like the premise and what this is offering feels totally in line with my interests. And then I load up Prey, and I see all the emails I have to read and all the story stuff that's going on. And then once the mechanics start getting more complicated and the level up system starts getting introduced and all this stuff, I'm like, I check out. I'm like, there's whatever's going on up to this point is not hooking me enough that I want to, you know, take the time to learn and digest everything, all the mechanics this game has going on. I just drop it, which sucks. Cause like, if in my heart of hearts, I would love to like, just fully like fall in love with these games and like put in the time and like have them be like one of my favorite games, you know, but in practice, yeah, I'm kind of bored. I don't think I want to do something else.
I kill everybody in those games too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like, I want to play them, you know, in this ultra stealthy
correctly, you
know, correctly. Yeah. So I want to do that, but the second I fail, it's not like, oh, okay, let's try again. I'm like, whatever, I'm just gonna kill everyone. And then I feel like icky about it. And then I begrudgingly go to the next area and then fail again immediately, and then I'm just like, I don't know, I don't love this. But yeah, it's one of those things where like I understand that this is a highly regarded title. It has great reviews, people love it, and so I it's one of those things where you have to like reconcile that it just doesn't, it's not for me. I don't enjoy playing this, but I understand that generally people really love it.
No, Javi, blame the game.
No, you're all wrong, I'm right.
But Ben, you haven't been getting too much in here. Were there any thoughts like on, because you went the stealth route like I did,
Yeah, I did do stealth. I think I do agree that there's not enough like options for stealth, because you can basically just, you can sleep dart someone, or you can choke them out, or you can just run away and disappear. And I think when I started this, I was sort of confusing it with some of the stuff Dishonored 2 did. I think Dishonored 2 kind of has a little more, it kind of makes the powers a little more well-rounded in that way, so you can do more interesting stealth stuff in Dishonored 2. Then I remember there was like a link power where like if one thing happens to one character, it happens to somebody else, so you can like link a bunch of NPCs together and then stealth one of them, and then they all fall down. But that's in Dishonored 2. So I think I was like, oh yeah, Dishonored 2, I think it solves some of those problems where they kind of make it a little more well-rounded stuff. But I think, I don't know, I don't think Dishonored 2 would exist without the, you know, bedrock of this first game.
And speaking about Dishonored 2, was that power specific to Emily, or is that for both Emily and Corvo in that?
I don't remember, because I know I played Dishonored 2 as Emily, so I know she had it, but I don't remember if it was... I think Corvo and Emily had totally different powers in that game, if I remember right.
Right, yeah, because I played as Emily too. Powers. Well, no, I thought it was just
different perspective.
No, it was a slight difference in powers. Like, they had a lot of the same powers, like, you're definitely right there, but I remember there was a few that were different, and I don't know if this is one of the different ones, or... if they had, it was part of that shared group. But I only ever played Dishonored once as Emily, so I never really saw Corvo's perspective as the, you know, huge mass murderer. Because I think Corvo's was more combat oriented.
Yeah. Because I definitely went with Emily and went with more stealthy, like I tried to do in this game. But yeah, I think Dishonored 2 kind of makes it a little more well balanced as far as like if you want to play it stealthy or if you want to play it more like actiony.
Who is that YouTuber who does the awesome, like, they're essentially montages, although they're just straight up playthroughs of the game where, you know, they'll teleport all over the place and just kill people left and right, like, in a fantastic, like, it's almost speedrunning, but it's not, because he's not, like, glitching out all over the place. He's just going through and killing it. Like, he just knows the game backwards and front.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've seen that, but there's definitely, like, I've seen wild things, especially Dishonored 2, with, like, that. Because like you upgrade Blink, you can kind of like teleport like all over the map with that thing, and kind of you definitely do some interesting stuff with it for sure.
Yeah. Well, for again, speaking of Dishonored 2, for those who've played the Dishonored 1 DLC as well as Dishonored 2, because I hadn't played the Dishonored 1 DLC before, wasn't it really similar, like the plot of the DLC to Dishonored 2? I was so shocked at like, oh wow, they really like laid the groundwork for Dishonored 2 here and like went over a lot of like the similar grounds, and even some like levels looked pretty similar to what I saw in the sequel.
But Quentin, I haven't played Dishonored 2, but question for to pile on to Marcus's there. The final villain, she's like the one that you fight as what's his name? He's the villain in she's the villain in two, right?
Yeah.
I found that weird.
Yeah, well, I think her coven, like, I think it assumes that you go the non-lethal route and trap her in the painting. And I think her coven breaks her out after, like, 10 years or whatever. So it takes some time. And then, yeah, I think... do you guys mind a spoiler from Dishonored 2?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Okay, I think like you trap her in the void, at the end of that game, and you lock her away for good. Or you know, if you go the lethal route, you just go ahead and kill her.
Got it.
One of the things though, like here at the end of the DLC in Dishonored 1, when you go to her like painting world. Like Dowd specifically voices, and that was one of those weird differences between the DLC and the main game. Dowd talks during the DLC. He says like, "Oh, this is the void." Like, I thought she was already trapped in the void at the end of this DLC. Is there a different void that we deal with in Dishonored 2?
I don't think so. I think it's technically the same. I think it's technically the same stuff. I don't know how. I think they have that whole thing about how the outsider will, like, you know, he has no, like, moral, like, he doesn't choose people based on, like, if they're good or bad. He chooses them based on their like, interesting. So, like, a weird thing about how he just seems to like causing chaos, essentially, and might just, like, let her out or something like that.
But yeah. I've never seen a DLC that was quite like this, because, you know, we were just talking about Mass Effect earlier. Mass Effect sort of sets up, especially from the 2 DLC with the arrival to Mass Effect 3, like, it's sort of useful for providing that context when the Reapers come and attack Earth at the beginning of 3, spoilers, but, like, it, I don't know, I it still just felt like more of an introduction. It's the prelude to 3, rather than, this feels like such a vital part of the series, and it's so strange to have it be sort of masked away as a DLC. And I wonder if that's part of why with 2 they sort of went a different route and they sort of try to make it a standalone game with the Death of the Outsider. And so, like, I feel like Dowd's thing might have been called something else had it been, you know, had it come out a little bit later in time, just to make people understand, like, no, this is, like, this is Dishonored stuff. It's not a complete mainline entry, but, like, it's a game you should play, not just if you like got bored enough and saw there was a DLC sale going on.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
up, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. Paul. I was going to say, Knife and Dumbo and the Bridgemore Witches, like, I think if you had bundled them together, I mean, you would have got like a 6-7 hour game out of it. So it could have been its own standalone thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't play, this was my first time playing through the DLC, and I was really pleasantly surprised. I didn't know how Dodd would, you know, I didn't know if it would work if he was the main character, but I honestly kind of liked him more than Corvo, because he actually talks. So you actually kind of get some of his internal monologue, whereas, you know, you've got Corvo in the main game is, you know, your standard, like, silent protagonist a la, you know, Gordon Freeman or, you know, something like that.
Do Corvo and Emily talk in the second one, depending upon who you play as?
Emily does, for sure. I can't remember if Corvo does.
Corvo has lost his tongue somewhere along the line and never talks in the series.
So if you choose to go with Emily, you hear Corvo talk. But if you choose to go with Corvo, I don't think you hear him talk. So basically, depending on who you choose to play as, you don't get to hear their voice. It's a little weird.
Really? I swore you heard Emily talk and do, you know, her little comments to herself, like most games. Where are you hearing them talk?
I think Emily definitely talks. I'm not sure if Corvo does. I don't remember, but yeah, I'm pretty sure Emily talks in Dishonored too.
I felt like that was one of the big things that they corrected and that they were in the middle of correcting with the Dishonored 1 DLC. Just that sort of, like, it's oddly silent. Why isn't my guide reacting to anything? This is weird and unsettling.
Especially since, like, it's not, I guess, at the end, like, it's not even implied, but, like, through at least the first, like, quarter to half of the game, it's implied that, like, you had a relationship with the Empress and you're Emily's dad, and you're talking to all these people and getting revenge, and, like, you have nothing to say at all. They just talk at you. Like, yes, I'm angry, I guess. Very angry, so angry I can't talk.
Yeah. He speaks through his action, not his word.
It's mere grace. It says everybody's dead.
Yeah. Writes letters in people's blood.
Yeah, I think I've established I don't really like silent protagonists, so that is probably another gripe of the game. It's just like, he's just there. He's just a vessel for the player. He doesn't really have his own personality.
Except for Samus, right? Samus is cool.
Oh yeah, Samus is awesome. Like, and she does talk occasionally.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Not like Corvo, who just, like, grunts occasionally when he, like, gets killed. I think that's the only time he makes any sort of noise at all.
But yeah, I mean, I guess we can probably get close to wrapping up and do some ending thoughts, right? Unless, did you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I mean,
should Dishonored 3 happen?
Should it? I haven't played 2 yet, but I mean, I like this world, Javi. I would go back to it. I will go back to it with 2 and Death of the Outsider, which I have.
I'm shocked you haven't played two, because you are pretty high on this game, right?
Yeah, I liked it originally. I liked it the first time, which also death to everyone. And I liked it again this time. I like the world. I have Dishonored 2 and Death of the Outsider. Just have not gotten to them yet. Only 6 years behind.
Yeah, there's time.
You played through so many games. I don't know how this hasn't come up in the docket.
I don't know. And like I bought them. Like it's not like I don't have them. And then I don't know. No answers.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like what is it? I've had Assassin's Creed Odyssey on my shelf for like years, and I'm gonna play it at some point, and I'll probably enjoy it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, did you play Origins?
No, I didn't play Origins. The only Assassin's Creed game I've played was 2.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's weird, but also sort of explains why you haven't gotten around to Odyssey. Maybe you're not super into Assassin's Creed.
I like 2. I just got busy with other games.
Fair.
There's a lot of Assassin's Creed.
So many.
Yeah.
And they're so long.
Now they are.
Yeah, now.
Ridiculously long.
Yeah.
I beat Assassin's Creed 2. And so I liked 2 also, but yeah, I kind of like bounced off. I think I played Black Flag a little bit, which I really liked. But Origins, I'm playing right now, actually, and it's very good. So,
what is it? The Pirates of the Caribbean world in Kingdom Hearts 3. They took a lot of inspiration from Black Flag, from what I heard.
Oh, really?
So I feel like I enjoyed that world. So I feel like I'll enjoy Black Flag. And again, I own that. It's just on my shelf, and I haven't touched it.
Fair.
I played and finished most of them, but I cannot and probably will not finish Valhalla. There's just too much.
You didn't buy the super DLC for that, Grace?
What, Valhalla? No, I just bought the vanilla game. Like I tried to play it, and I just could not stay focused on the main missions, because there's just so many stupid little dots on the compass and the map and everything. It's just like I'm not. I can't do this.
It's an Ubi bloat game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dax, maybe don't play Odyssey. Now that I think about it. Yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah.
Odyssey has a lot of that, too. Yeah.
It's weird, though. I liked Odyssey, and I finished it. Just can't do Valhalla for some reason.
That's the only one I haven't touched yet.
I'm not a huge fan of Eivor from the bit I played of it, and I think that plays into it, since there's so much like just talking from your protagonist. If you're not a big fan of them, it's easy to bounce off.
Maybe rather than starting an all new Assassin's Creed that takes hundreds of hours, just reinstall Death Stranding and finish that up,
or install it on your PC for the first time and play it on Game Pass starting on Tuesday.
Game Pass in stores now.
With Xbox achievements too, and Javi, I may actually replay Destiny.
Oh, you're sick!
I love it. You know, I've been replaying it this week.
I will replay it at some point, but I think it's gonna. I'm gonna have to wait like 7 years or something. I need to.
Yeah, next generation.
But Ben, did you have any closing thoughts on Dishonored?
I definitely think it's an interesting, I think like the world building that they did for this is really interesting. And I think I do think Dishonored 2 is maybe a better game kind of all around than the original Dishonored. I think that's the one I kind of really, really like latched onto when I played it. But I think it's an interesting, like replaying this first time in like, I don't know, 10 years or so. I think it's been it reminded me why like Arcane kind of has that reputation that they do, and kind of how they kind of, you know, continue that now and like a lot of the other games that they make.
They're part of Bethesda, so it's weird they're going to be like an Xbox studio going forth, but
It's gonna be interesting if cause I don't think Bethesda never really like acknowledge them very much, and it's interesting seeing like Redfall getting put like front and center on like all the Xbox shows. So I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how like what's going to happen to Arcane now going forward.
Well, isn't there's different Arcanes? I think Redfall's from Arcane Austin.
Yeah, wow. I think Arcane Austin also did Prey, if I remember correctly.
And then their main studio is Arcane Edinburgh or something, a town up in Scotland.
But yeah, no, I mean, so, yeah, I think Arcane under Microsoft is probably going to be fine. It really feels like Microsoft just bought a bunch of different developers to have them make their kind of games that they make to really flesh out their offerings. So while Redfall is a little bit of a departure because it has that sort of co-op element, in general, I'm not too worried about them. The most worry I would have for any of these studios under Microsoft is that they're bad studios and Microsoft doesn't do anything to rein them in, like when they have like terrible work environments. But as far as what games they'll make, I'm not worried about it. I think it'll be great. I am eager for some of the stuff to start coming out after these acquisitions.
That would be nice. Like nothing this year at all from Xbox proper.
Hey, you get some DLC and Grounded finally comes out of early access. And that's about it.
We got Psychonauts last year. Still coasting off of that.
They have 4,000 studios, Paul. 4,000! Nothing this year.
4,000 seems like a lot.
Maybe
I'm
not.
Check that
maybe,
math again. Maybe but
not that many, but...
Yeah, I you know, games take time, but next year does look pretty nuts as far as what's listed now. I'm sure some stuff will get pushed again, but as it stands, I'm like, I don't have a job. Like, I can't do this. Less, please. But sorry, speaking about Dishonored, as you probably could guess from the talk so far, I was actually really high on the game. Even playing it the second time around, with the main campaign, just killing people left and right, it was such a different experience. I play almost like Dax, just all stealth, save scum. Like, oh, I made a really nice jump. Like, I blinked across the map. Let me save there, and then I blinked to like a platform. From there, once my mana heals up, because I'm not going to use my potions. I might need those later. And so I blink, and then, okay, let me save there. So, like, yeah, I have a ton of saves going. And I really appreciate that the game doesn't say, oh, you saved a bunch. Oh, no achievement for you. Because there are some games where they'll have that mode where they're like, no. You have to do it right the first time. And that's the ones I don't have the time for. But with Dishonored, it let me kill a bunch of people. And I think that's, at least in the first one, a little bit where it falters, where you get stuck in combat, because I think the combat itself is clunky when people are coming at you and you got to like sort of counter a bit here and there. Like, that's not so great. But if you do some stealth kills, you throw a bomb, like all those items, I think really sort of diversify that experience. But for me, the star of the show is the map design itself. I love being able to, like, I think I'm breaking the game. I'm like, I do a big jump up in the sky and then I teleport over to a rooftop. They're like, yeah, I showed you game. But the game, like, already has a bunch of stuff there waiting for me. Like, they knew what they were doing. They're like, yep, here's the path. You found it. Good job, idiot. And I just really appreciate that. To have that then coupled with this fleshed out world, it just creates for an experience that for me is like, yep, that I nothing else really touches it. And while I do sort of fall in a little bit in the same camp that like Javi and Graceful, where every now and then, despite it seemingly being like, yeah, this is great, like something just doesn't quite click. And that's part of why I never went and played Death of the Outsider the first time. But it's hard to deny like what they do right. And I don't know how Death of the Outsider ends. There's some hints earlier in the show that made it sort of sound like it is a capper on the series. And maybe that is why we got Deathloop instead, where it's like a lot of similar powers, but it's a different mythology entirely. So I'm excited to see how the series potentially ends.
Yeah, and to be fair, I haven't played Death of the Outsider yet. I just remember when it came out, that was kind of what people were saying in the conversation around the game. So
sounds like it, right? Like with the name of it, it's like, oh, that seems like a pretty big deal.
But I guess Grace, Javi, you guys were on this same page for the most part. But any closing thoughts?
I was just going to say, like, from what we've talked about, from what I've read, everything, I think I would probably like Dishonored 2 better anyway. Like, maybe I wouldn't necessarily love it, but I would like it better than the first one. But of course, I'm not going to play the sequel to the game when I haven't played the first game. So maybe at some point I'll try and get back into the series with, you know, 2 and Death of the Outsider. But as far as the first game goes, I guess I pretty much already said my piece. I'm glad I'm done with it. I'm glad I tried it, found out whether I liked it or not, and, you know, I can say I've beaten it. That's good enough for me.
Nice. Yeah.
I was going to say Dishonored 2 also always seemed more appealing, but I also have that kind of, I can't play a sequel first. I need to play the first one. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, maybe on some off chance, I'll check out the second one, but I'm definitely not going to make it a priority because I think I have come to the conclusion that these immersive sims just aren't for me. Maybe one night I'll be like super in the mood to like dive into one, but hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, for me, it's just kind of like I already have the other 2 games, so since they're already there. But yeah, if I didn't own them, I wouldn't go out of my way to buy them.
Well, I don't believe that, Grace.
I mean, it would happen. It would happen eventually. Just I wouldn't go out of my way for it.
Oh, so when the ad showed you the game, then it's time. I did want to ask both of you though, but before we move on to the rest of the closing thoughts, what difficulty did you guys play it on?
Normal.
I think normal. I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was normal.
And if would easy have done anything different, especially I think I am really thinking of Javi here with people, you know, being alerted to you when you're like, oh shoot, I didn't realize I was exposed here. Like if you just weren't as easy to find.
The problem was never like this is too hard. The problem was just that I wasn't engaged. You know, I was kind of checked out the whole time. It felt like a chore. Like I didn't want to play it. And that was my issue.
Gotcha.
No, yeah, that pretty much sums it up for me. I like Javi said, it wasn't too hard. I mean, I did die plenty of times, but it wasn't just because I was terrible at it. I just didn't really care.
And then Chris, sounds like you're a bit more positive on the game, but any closing thoughts from you?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the world. I think that's what kind of pulled me through, because like I'm not great at stealth games, clearly, as I kill everybody. But this game, unlike some other stealth games where it's like it penalizes you, like I think Javi said, like Splinter Cell, like if you get spotted, mission over immediately. Like I'm terrible at those. This gives me the option of being completely chaotic and stabbing everybody in sight, even if maybe the combat isn't great. I can then shoot them in the face with my nice little pistol. I enjoy it. I will go back and at some point install Dishonored 2 and give that one a go.
I think I was the one who kind of suggested this game. I think I'm a huge fan of immersive sims. I love this just twisted steampunk world, and it was kind of just especially after the pandemic, it was kind of interesting kind of revisiting this game and seeing, you know, an actual, an 1800s sort of plague spreading and how they handled it. That was really interesting. The powers were really fun. My first run through the game this time, I went for the trophy where you're not allowed to purchase any upgrades or powers, but you know, despite that, I was still able to have a lot of fun. And once I completed the game, I just basically used all the runes I collected to buy all the powers, and then I just messed around on the final level by, you know, pausing time and moving bodies in front of like bullets, and you know, just doing a bunch of crazy stuff like that. And I was able to I felt like I was able to do that a lot more with Dawn in the DLC. Just wonderful world. Had a fun time. I can understand like saves coming. It's not for everybody, but I tend to be a perfectionist, so I usually don't mind as much. But I'm probably gonna be replaying Dishonored 2 and Death of the Outsider probably sometime later this year. But
for now, I'm just glad I was, upon revisiting the game, it held up as much as I remembered it did.
Well, should we decide on the next game?
Yeah, is it Javi or Chris's turn?
It's me. Right. I'm ready. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put each of these titles into the Discord chat one by one so that you guys... Huh?
There better not be director's cut of Death Stranding in this.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm going to put each of these in here so that you can put an emote on the ones you want to vote for. So it's a lot easier to see what we're doing. So first up is my favorite game this year so far, Sifu.
And ooh.
Next we have Blasphemous. That is a Castlevania kind of action side-scroller game. Nightmare of Decay is kind of an indie first-person kind of take on like Resident Evil, like classic Resident Evil. And Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. That's the original. I know the sequel is about to come out any minute. And then Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare. This is the PS1 game. Kind of classic survival horror with static cameras and tank controls and all that. So that's also, all the games.
That Alone in the Dark just got a... they're making a reboot of that.
Right. Yeah, they're remaking this game. So, or, well, they're remaking the original. I think it's this game, though, because this is kind of a remake of the original also. So this is the second remake of the original.
These are tough, Javi. All right. We're picking two or just one?
Maybe pick two and we'll see where we're at.
All right, I picked my two. Few of those games, Javi, I've never even heard of. I'm like Googling them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of Nightmare Decay, even though it sounds like something I would like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Blasphemous. Okay, so I was thinking Blasphemous was that other one where they're like, it's not allowed in like 40 countries because they do some like fucked up shit in it.
But That might be this game. It is a capital M for mature, like for sure. Really violent. There's some nudity. There's some disturbing imagery. Yeah, and it's very much... Yeah, and it's very much made by Spanish developers that are leaning super hard into like Catholic imagery and like really twisted stuff. I love it. But I can see how it would offend some like religious folks if they take it too seriously.
Really?
One I own, haven't gotten to yet.
It's not letting me add emojis. Why?
You can click on one of the emojis that's already there and it'll add a number to it.
Okay, I was going to add one to Blasphemous, but it looks like people aren't on board with that.
What animal do you want to be, Paul?
Here, I will Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. That's where my other vote is going.
Okay.
All right. So it looks like overwhelmingly Mario plus Rabbids won the vote here. Sifu almost made it, though, so shout out to Sifu.
For me, I chose the Mario & Rabbids, partially because it's that same thing. It's like, yeah, I've had this. I've like played one or two like levels here and there, but I've never sat down and just gone through it. And I know it's supposed to be like pretty good, not crazy hard, like XCOM, like you're going to kill yourself because you couldn't beat the game, but like still a lot of fun and a lot of charm. And I just haven't played it yet, man.
Yeah, speak for yourself on that not hard thing, because I tried to beat it.
Oh, really?
It gets hard.
I got stuck on
it. It gets very hard.
Yeah, oh, the reason I haven't finished it is because I got stuck later in the game.
Oh, and not the Donkey Kong, like the main game?
Yeah, the main game.
Oh, no. Okay.
Let me guess, Grace, did you get stuck at the same part that I got stuck on? Was it the opera boss? It's like a rabbit that's like singing? Because yeah. I couldn't beat them. That's where I
was. It was past that, I think. I don't remember. Okay. I do remember doing that one, so I think it was past that. But yeah, I don't remember exactly which level it was on. It was fairly late in the game, though.
Yeah, it gets super tough, and I don't know if the problem is that like I didn't grind or something, or if it's just like I'm not using the right strategy. But it's not easy.
I even dropped the difficulty, and I started to do it.
Javi, where can I play this Nightmare of Decay game?
As far as I know, it's only on PC, on Steam, so you should be able to get it for pretty cheap. But yeah, it's cool.
Javi, out of curiosity, Blasphemous, is it more like Castlevania Symphony of the Night or classic Castlevania?
It is like a big map that's all interconnected, and you find like shortcuts or teleportation ports to go to different parts of it. So I would say it's more like Symphony of the Night in that way. But the combat is really simple. You unlock different abilities, like sort of like spells that you can use your magic power on, but for the most part you just have your main sword, and you just get good at, you know, what's it called, like dashing backwards to not get hit, and then trying to time your parries. You can do parries and then retaliate, and does like really, really violent finishing moves. So it's like Castlevania, but it's not it's not a one-to-one comparison. It's kind of like a nice spin on it.
Okay. But it's a Metroidvania yes. sort of, but it does so it does have like power-ups and that's to navigate the map or access new areas.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Then I am buying it since it is 75% off.
Awesome.
All right.
Spanish developers.
So yeah, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle will be our next game. Out of curiosity, what did you vote for, Ben?
I voted for Mario and Rabbids because that's a game I haven't played. I haven't played any of these games, but Mario and Rabbids is one I've heard of and was interested in checking out for sure.
Okie doke. So yeah, it looks like cool. We got our next game. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And I hope whoever's listening to this has a wonderful day. And we'll catch you later on the next VG Club. Bye. Hello, folks. And...
Oh, sorry.
Okay, now I'm still. Hello, I folks.
Sorry. I'll shut up.